Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're glad to have you aboard tonight. And we've got a good show lined up for you. We hope you stay tuned. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. We've got a lot of good stuff in the next few weeks that we're going to share with you. And tonight we're going to get in a very, very important, I think, subject. And it's probably one of the most controversial subjects that is making rounds today. And that is blood cults and secret societies. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to see what the Bible has got to say. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe that the Bible is the final solution to our problems. We believe that we have gotten away from the Holy Scriptures and strayed away into rituals and covenants that are not scripturally sound. Praise Yahweh. So, call a friend and tell them that we're on the air tonight for the purpose of sharing the love truth. That's what we're all about tonight, is that we have a love for the truth, and we'd like to pass this love on down to you in some way that it would benefit your soul and you would have a right to the tree of life. Praise Yahweh. Now, we're going to get right in the message. First, we'd like to give you our mailing address up front. We would like for you to email us at houseofyahweh@posse-comitatus.org, and that will get us in touch with the email. If you would like to write us, simply write Brother Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, and as if it's 37824. My telephone number, if you would like to call me, I'll be immediately after the broadcast. I'd like to hear from you. Call me up and we'll chat a while and get acquainted. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Call me up after the broadcast here immediately, and we will chat with you about the present situation in the world. Blood cults and secret societies. Well, you've probably heard about these secret blood cults that are prevalent today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they are nothing new to our time, because the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. And we know that these things are going on today. There's a lot of mysteries about our political leaders, what they're into, and how they conduct themselves. In these secret blood cults, you'll find a lot of information available if you would get online or to inquire or go to your local library and check out these things. Well, we're going to the Bible tonight, praise Yahweh, and that'll be the King James Version that we're reading out of here tonight. We're starting in Jeremiah chapter 32, and we're going to start here in verse 34. Now let's start at verse 33, and then we'll read through 35. Praise Yahweh. Now, and they have turned unto me their back and not the face, though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. But they have built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah and Israel to sin. Now, we're going to talk a bit about Baal. Dale, is Strong's number 1168 in your Strong's Concordance. So if you'd like to look up that word, you'll be surprised what it says. It's husband is one of the terms, and he's also known as Lord, and he's also known as a father. So Baal was identified as the male attribute of all these pagan worshipers. Now we're also going to a place in the scriptures, Judges chapter 2, if you will. We've read about Baal here. We're going to do some more reading about the female goddess counterpart to Baal, which, you know, you need a goddess and you need a god. And so these two fit the bill here tonight. And many sacrifices were made unto them. And we're going to start at verse 12 of Judges chapter 2 to give you an indication that Ashtoreth is the female goddess of love according to Strong's number 6253. That's Strong's number, if you're taking notes, 6253. And they forsook Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods, or the gods of the people that were round about them, and they bowed themselves unto them and provoked Yahweh to anger. And they forsook Yahweh and served Baal and Ashtoreth. Now here they are, the female and the male god, goddess and god, here as scriptures relate. Both of them have a Strong's identity number, and we're going to find out in the scripture study tonight just exactly what this means to us, as Ashtoreth was a goddess of love. Now, my question tonight is, why were the worshipers of Baal, why was Israel so enticed to go worshiping after Baal? Baal was a fertility god. And, of course, Ashtoreth was the goddess of reproduction. And so these two gods and goddesses fit very neatly into the plan of Satan to encourage or entice Israel to go a-whoring out from under the Heavenly Father, praise Yahweh. Now, we're going now over to Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah chapter 19, we'll start at verse 4, and as we read, listen, as we set up the stall of information and the foundation here, as we're going to build a case for blood rituals, blood cults, and secret societies. They were going on then. And very strange that the word grove here appears so many times associated with Baal and Balaam and Ashtoreth. They worship in groves. And we know that the word grove is associated with wood. Now, gods of wood, Hollywood is one of the instances that we can think about, and how that they have used Hollywood, a place to foster their promotions of the sexual cults and these secret blood orders that they have organized around the earth. Now, you will be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, who participate in drinking blood and eating flesh. Now, I know that sounds very, very sickening to most of us, but the scriptures will make sure that we know what's going on with the evil ones. Now, we're talking about the secret order of the reptilian race. Now, we proved in the first week on Truth Radio that there is a reptilian Canaanite faction upon the earth, live and embodied in flesh. We're going to deal with them tonight and show you how that they eat the sacrifice and drink the blood of the dead. Now, this is very astounding news, but it's all biblical, and we're going to prove it tonight, praise Yahweh. Now, let's read in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 19. because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and they have filled this place with the blood, there it is, of innocents. And they have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire, for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake, neither came into my mind. Now, here we are with the blood of innocents. We're going to show you how that these Baal altars were places where that the blood of these innocent children, most of them were children, the Bible is very distinct on this, that they would bring their children and offer them in a blood covenant ritual unto Ashtoreth and unto Baal, praise Yahweh. Now, quickly, we're going over to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to start in the 20th verse. Now, listen as we set up, and we'll talk about this when we get the scriptures loaded on the program here tonight and get you some scriptural foundation to stand on with your thought process. Now, the Bible said, let every word be proven. That's what we intend to do with this doctrine tonight, to show you that there are secret blood cults and secret societies that are practicing the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth, and it started with Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me. These were Israelite sons and daughters. And these have thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Now, sacrificed to who? To Baal and to Ashtoreth. Now, to be devoured, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, what they would actually do, they would take the young, tender bodies of these children of Israel, they would slay them after sodomizing them on the altar with the high priestess and the priest, the high priest of these Baal cults. And what they would do, they would charge up a very, very strong presence of the reptilian, who would then shapeshift into flesh in the presence of these practicing priest and high priestess, and then they would literally drink the blood of these that were sacrificed. Now, let me go over that again for you. Mark it in your Bible. It's 16 Ezekiel, verse 20. Moreover, thou hast taken my sons and my daughters, and you have borne unto me, and these have you sacrificed. Now, the word sacrifice always puts a mental block into Israel. Most people think that sacrifice is pouring something on an altar and burning it to Yahweh. That's not what we're going to prove that ain't right tonight. In most cases, these sacrifices were eaten, literally eaten, on the altars of where they performed these sacrifices. For instance, I'll give you an example. Every time you sit down to a meal, you sacrifice something to feed your faith. Now, that's where the word sacrifice or something is given for you to devour. And that's what they were doing. In this case, it was not like animals. Yahweh required animals, the substitute blood of animals for the blood of the human. Now, Cain and Baal, we're going to tie Baal in here very closely to this, praise Yahweh. Cain and Baal and Ashtoreth, they demanded from their priests and high priestesses, they demanded the literal blood of these tender eyes and these tender bodies of the Israelites, in this case, to be brought to them where they were sodomized in sexual union to present a high-charged negative realm where that they could come into. And then they would, as I have indicated, shapeshift into these reptilian beings, and there they would eat and drink the blood of the sacrifices. Now, it is very plain in the 20th verse that they have devoured my children upon the altars of Baal, This is the whoredom of these Belites and these Ashtoreth-lites. Is it a small matter? You have slain my children and delivered them and caused them to pass through the fire for them. And in all your abominations and your whoredoms. Now, how was this whoredom conducted? Well, here's how it was, ladies and gentlemen. If the Israelites who had left Yahweh, they'd gone into these groves where that they participated in the sexual union cults, where that they practiced the practice of giving their children through the fire, the stones, the energy, the electricity into the wombs of the goddess and by the male prostitutes. And we're going to visit with you a little bit on what the Bible has got to say about male and female prostitutes. Did you know that there was such a thing in the Bible, and that these male and female prostitutes, that they literally hung around the altars? My question is, why would they hang around places of worship? Now, today, if you go into a bus station, or if you go into a frequented area of high traffic, you will find both the male and the female prostitutes, the gays and the lesbians, trying to solicit for sexual union. Ladies and gentlemen, this cause had a deeper meaning. These were spiritual attachments to the lust that they had been given up to. Now, let's quickly take down, if you are following the message here tonight, and you're keeping notes, and I pray that you are, this is a lengthy message. We have it in whole context with our message that Cain ate Abel. We're talking about these fertility or secret cults and these blood ritual ceremonies that were conducted from the time of Cain. Now, we go back and start in Genesis chapter 4, and we discover that Cain was the first one to let blood out of a human body. Now, this blood was precious in the sight of Yahweh. There had to be a substitute, and from that there became a sacrificial animal substitute until the replacement of Abel, who was the son of God, slain from the foundation of the world, kept through the ritual covenant of animal sacrifices until the appearance of our Messiah, Yahweh Shua. Now, Strong's number 6945 is a very, very strange number, and it means male temple prostitute. Look at the meaning in 6945. It will tell you that it's a male temple prostitute. Now, let's look at the female counterpart here, and that's Strong's number 6948. One is 45 and the other is 48. The others are related root words associated with the meaning of a male temple prostitute. Now, why in the world would they have male temple prostitutes? Well, they were to take care and perform for those that would love to come to the temple to be impregnated with a holy child from the spirit world. And this was the attraction that Israel was led into to get them away from self-procreation or for making children through their own blood. This was a substitute, and this is how that the snake, it's a divine plan of the snake, diabolical in its nature, to turn Israel away from procreation of their own bloodline into mixing the canine blood. And we'll talk a little bit about that. A dog is known as a canine. You spell dog backwards and you get God. It's a canine line, and Cain's number of Strong's 1168 indicates that that's what he was, the fertility god of the evil ones, the Nakash, or the reptilians, and we know them as the Cain race. Praise Yahweh. So remember that there was a sacrificial covenant that they had made with the sons of Yahweh to take their sons and daughters, here it says, and have give them to be devoured upon the altars of Baal. Now, did they literally eat them, Pastor Buddy? That's what the scripture says here, to be devoured. Sacrifice means to eat. Now, we'll prove that as we go back to Exodus chapter 34. Now, Exodus chapter 34, and we're going to, before we get to the break here, let me get this in, 34, and we're going to look at verse 15. Praise Yahweh. Least I make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whore, and there it is, again, after their gods. Remember, that's a canine, or a canine god. Dog spelled backwards. And ladies and gentlemen, these secret societies that I've warned you about, you reckon that they might have got their hands on some of the Holy Scripture and put in words to key and code to take you out of context and put you into a seem-right way. And they do sacrifice unto their gods, and one shall call thee, and thou shalt eat of his sacrifice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they were inviting Israel over to the sacrifice to eat their own children. Oh, you say, Pastor Buddy, Israel would never eat their children. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't bet on it. Because there is instances that prove that in time of famine or extreme trouble or in where they were disillusioned and mixed up in their mindset, spiritually cold and indifferent and separated from the truth of Yahweh, that they literally boiled their children and ate them. That was the Israelite practice. Here on the altars of Baal, they would roast their flesh after they drunk their blood and literally eat their bodies. Now, Genghis Khan, one of the most feared warriors of Oriental, if you look up the word chain, it will tell you he was of Oriental descent. And so then some of the Oriental descent upon the earth are from the bloodline of Cain. Now, here's what Genghis Khan, which is the K, meaning it was Cain, Genghis Cain, that's the true word. If you look up into the root words of the name Khan, it's a Jewish term here, ladies and gentlemen. But it's it is a substitute for Cain, and his method of inflicting fear upon the enemy was that he and his hordes that came down out of Mongolia would literally drink the blood from the skulls of the separated bodies of their enemy. And then they would eat their flesh at night. They had their own. They had the teal to eat, ladies and gentlemen. And this is all historical documented proof. And here we go. The break. We'll be right back after break with a continuation of Secret Blood Cults and Society. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Talk on Truth Radio. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight. We are in a great discussion here tonight on the subject of secret rituals and blood cults. Now, we have a tape of this that you can purchase from our archives here at 423-626-2172. Just give me a call. I'd be glad to get you out this truth in two-hour VHS format form. Now, we're in Leviticus chapter 7, we're at verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. You see, everybody thinks that sacrifice is just going and killing animals and piling them up and burning them. And that's not what Yahweh meant by sacrifice. And everybody has really misunderstood this. The Baal altars were places to sacrifice human flesh and to be eaten and the blood drank. And we're going to prove that before the night's over. Praise God. This is astounding. That's why that Yahweh forbid his people to go into the groves to worship Ashtoreth and Baal. Praise Yahweh. Now, notice this. Verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't burned as a peace offering to Yahweh. This was a shared common meal, even among the priests. Verse 5, and the priest shall burn them, the offering, upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto Yahweh as a trespass offering. Listen to this now. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place, for it is most holy. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them, the priest that maketh atonement. The priest that offers any man's burnt offerings, in other words, that was burnt, meaning it had to be cooked, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you the truth here. For the first time, maybe your eyes will be open to sacrifice. Even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. Listen here, verse 9. And all the meat offering that is baked in the oven. Ladies and gentlemen, the place where that they sacrificed was nothing but a place where they killed the sacrifice, meaning the animals, and they would bake in the oven all that is dressed in the frying pan. Have you ever heard of such thing in sacrificing? Has anyone told you, other than your bell box preachers that just literally talked about burning animals up and wasting them as smoke and went up into the sky? You dress them in the frying pan or in the pan. It shall be the priest that offers it. It wasn't given to Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen. It was given to those that brought the sacrifice, the animal. The animal was dressed by the priest. They got a portion of it, and then they dressed them in the frying pan according to the scripture here, and every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have as much as to another. Now, notice this. And the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering for the thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. Thou shalt not leave any of it until the morning. Now, the reason why Yahweh told them not to leave any, to eat it all, was that meat will usually keep for a day or two, but then after we have spoilage. Now, notice this. But if the sacrifice of this offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, or and on the morrow. Also, the remainder of it shall be eaten. So day two was cooked. Still, you could eat the remainder of the meal left over. Isn't this wonderful that you have been led to think that sacrifice was just burning a pile of animals and smoke and fire up to Yahweh when it actually wasn't that at all? But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. Now, why in the third day did he command that they quit eating after the second day and burn the remainder on the third day? Yahweh knew that under the extreme heat and temperatures that this meat would spoil and it wouldn't be good for them to eat. Now, praise Yahweh. Now, let's go over to, as we continue to read, we're going to read in the scriptures some very more interesting things. In Psalms, this is the key of what we're talking about here. So now we've done established that the sacrifice ought to be eaten. Now, what about the sacrifices to Baal? That's what we're after here tonight. Now, we proved that Yahweh's sacrifices were to be eaten at the place where they were offered. And they were shared as a community meal. Now, the same, the Baal worshippers did the same thing. The only difference was the menu, ladies and gentlemen. The menu for Baal's altars was human flesh. You say, oh, buddy, cannibalism, Cain ate. Abel, cannibal. Here's the words associated by chance Or do we have something here to think about, ladies and gentlemen? Now, we're giving you something to think about, praise Yahweh, and we want to provoke you to thinking that the thinking might stimulate you and that you might have a right to the scriptures of Yahweh. Now we're here now in the 106 Psalms. Quickly go there with us, praise Yahweh. If you're keeping notes, write down the scripture. This is a very, very important scripture. We're going to prove to you that they ate their children on the altar of Baal. They had fertility cults, sexual practices. Reptilians, shapeshifters would come active, and they would, these Israelites would see all these miracles and this great energy that would be exposed on the altars where that they did these, which didn't happen in the house of Yahweh. It was just a common meal. Here we're talking about spiritual intervention, where the negative powers of the heavens really came down and gave them a charge, ladies and gentlemen. And then the fertility cults, they would have these children, and these reptilians would be part of their bloodline inheritance. Do you get the message, ladies and gentlemen? See, it's been a blood war from the word go. We'll prove to you that you're not supposed to eat blood. And here we are in verse 28 of Psalms 106. This is awesome. Ground truth zero coming at you now, where the rubber meets the road. This is where the truth meets your heart, ladies and gentlemen. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead and provoked Yahweh to anger with their inventions. And the plague broke in upon them, and then stood up Phinehas to execute judgment, and so the plague was stayed. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the time that Phinehas, when he killed the Israelite and the stranger, the strange woman, that they were engaged in a Baal worship fertility cult, a blood drinking and flesh eating? Have you ever thought about it? Praise Yahweh. The rest of the story for you tonight on the Phinehas priesthood, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it's so important. You've never heard this from any other preacher. You're getting it for the first time. This is probably the first time you've ever heard it. And we dare to go where other preachers fear to tread, because we love truth. Praise Yahweh. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor, and they ate the sacrifice of the dead. Verse 37, yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. The reptilian demons, the shape-shifting reptilians that now the secret orders are springing up all over the world. And here's why, ladies and gentlemen, they shed the innocent blood. Whose blood? Even the blood of their sons and their daughters whom they sacrificed to Cain, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works, and they went a-whoring with their own inventions. Ladies and gentlemen, they got involved in blood. Now, what's so evil about blood? Did you know that in 17 Leviticus, quickly, let's go to 17 Leviticus, and we will see what the commandment of Yahweh is about blood. Praise Yahweh. As we go over to 17, we're going to start in the 10th verse of Leviticus chapter 17. Praise Yahweh. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, that eat any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eats blood. Eats blood? Was there an appetite for what? Well, you bloody meat eaters know that a steak that is seared in its own blood makes a very tasty juice, and yet you would not acknowledge. You think when it's the meat is cooked that the blood is drained from the meat. That's not so. When they sear a steak and they trap the blood inside, it turns into a liquid that doesn't necessarily look like blood, because it is ionized into the atmosphere as the blood is dissipated, but then the juices of the blood, the real life of the blood, remains there. He said, I will set my face against that person that eats blood, because verse 11, here it is, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. What about the life of the flesh, of human flesh, that was eaten upon the altars of Baal by the Israelites and the reptilian Canaanite race that enticed them for whoring and to separate away from Yahweh? I'm giving you ground truth, zero truth tonight. Praise Yahweh. Now, we're back to Psalms 106. Let me give you this word again. Verse 28. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifice of the dead. Now, I beg you to go with me, praise Yahweh. We're going over to a very important scripture here, and we're going over to the book of Luke. And we're going to really give you some astonishing information into the New Parchment as we go looking into the scriptures for the truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, will the truth set us free, as some have supposed? Oh, we think so, praise Yahweh. Now, let's read. And there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. Now remember, sacrifice is eating. Always associate sacrifice with eating, not just burning and making a big puff of smoke. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been deceived by the cunning craftiness of the false preachers that are in the bell boxes around the pulpits of America and throughout the world. Listen here. They mingled the blood of the Galileans. Now, who were the Galileans? God himself was in, ladies and gentlemen. Now, who was this that took the blood of the Galileans? Well, let's look at the political strategy here of Pilate, the Roman governor, and we'll look at Herod, that Judite, Canaanite mixture. Well, Herod was over Galilee, according to the scriptures. Now, Pilate was over Judah. This was for political purposes. Herod was a Jew. But he was a reptilian Jew, and these Jews now are in power tonight upon the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, if I was to expose some of the governments and what they're doing and the evil ones that are in the governments tonight, I will give you information later on as we explore the remainder of this mystery. We'll give you some information on how to do your own reading and updating from some wonderful information that's available to you. And this is documented proof. We have documented proof of these blood, secret blood cults and these secret societies that have these meetings where they drink the blood of these young Aryan races. And did you notice that a lot of children are missing today and that the police never investigate their disappearance and that the media doesn't carry any missing person report of these special ones that are missing? Wonder why that they're never heard from. They vanish literally from off the face of the earth. And did you know that the times that these are happening is on the cycles of the moon, when they counterattack the times where Yahweh opens the Sabbath windows? They counter by taking these negative forces and bringing into the earth. Now, you say, buddy, how can they do this by manipulation of the windows? They do it because when you would do good, evil's always present. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's got a time set for everything. Like for my tape on the secret rituals of the true Sabbath, you'll find out how that both Jews and Christians have lied to you about the appointed times and covered it up. We've got the information, and we're willing to share it with those that are interested in hearing the rest of the story. Tonight we're in Luke 13. There were present at that season that told him of the Galileans whose blood mingled with their sacrifices. Remember, the word sacrifice is associated with eating. Do you believe that they would literally take the blood of these young Israelites? We can show you where Herod killed every male child in Israel from 2 years old and down. Now, what did they do with their blood when they beheaded them? The Bible says they were beheaded, ladies and gentlemen. When Herod, who had these great big vats on these ox carts, and they would literally drain the blood from the bodies of these young children and put them in the blood vats, converted wine vats, and they would haul them back to Jerusalem to make the meat of the sacrifices that they were preparing in the kitchens of the shelf of the great temple of falsehood, a place where Yahweh drove them out and said, "You are children of the wicked one. You are snakes in disguise." Here they were mingling the blood of the Galilean Israelites, pouring upon the meat sacrifices to sweeten the taste, and these reptilians desire blood. Now, we are in some astounding truths tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I assure you that the book of Revelation says they desired blood to eat, and therefore in the battle of the great coming king of Armageddon, Yahweh will give them blood to eat and to drink. Praise Yahweh. Now, let's wonder about this just a moment here. Mark this in your scriptures, very important, that they told him that Herod had killed the young Israelites, brought their blood back to the temple. Pilate would sign the executive order to sprinkle the blood of these human sacrifices upon the meat that they were eating in the temple. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can acquire a taste for human flesh. You say, "Oh, buddy, I wouldn't dare think of that. That's repulsive to even think about it." Well, ladies and gentlemen, the next time you sit down to eat an animal flesh, think about the blood that's in the animal. Has it been drained? Has it been properly fixed and prepared to remove the blood? Or is the meat seared in to the blood, or the blood into the meat, and then you eat the blood as the juices, and it's very tasty, and you can acquire a taste for it, ladies and gentlemen. Most of these reptilian Canaanites love their meat just warm. Have you ever watched someone that sat and ate a piece of animal's flesh, and like a real rare steak? I used to cook for a colonel when I was in the service in the 1950s, and this colonel was an Aryan Israelite, but he'd acquired a taste for blood. And I had to learn how, after several attempts to cook his food for him, to please him. He said he wanted a piece of rare meat. He loved meat, and he ate meat twice a day. And in the Army, they had large portions of this meat, especially for the officer corps, and he was the full-board colonel, and I was the orderly that served him. And he taught me how to fix the meat. It was no problem, ladies and gentlemen. You just take a big slice of roast beef or a steak, throw it on the grill, sear it on one side for about 10 seconds, turn it over, sear it 10 seconds on that side on the real hot stove, take it into him, and he would cut into it, and the blood would flow from the meat, and he would eat and sop up all of the blood. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that eats rare meat has an acquired taste for blood, but let me tell you something. You wouldn't want that meat rare with the blood in it unless you had an acquired taste, is my understanding. So, next time that you think about this, remember that the scriptures command you to stay away from blood, and not to eat the blood, because life is in the blood. And when you ingest, now remember now, here we're talking about the Galilean Israelites. Life's in their blood. And when they would take the blood, for the enzymes of the blood were still active, they would give it to these bloodthirsty reptilian mixed Canaanite Jews, and they would eat and feast on the blood meat of the offering of the Galileans. Ladies and gentlemen, is that astounding or what? But it was going on in the Old Testament, and today it is continuing in the New. Now, We're going back to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 27, for just a moment, and we're going to show you that Baal has also become a substitute for Yahweh. Now, Ashtoreth, remember this goddess that was actually performing blood ritual covenants of these things that we are supposed to stay away from? Praise Yahweh. Now, we'll start, if you would look at verse 9, it's where Jeremiah preaches against the lying prophets. Have we got any today, ladies and gentlemen? Now, if I wanted to gain and captivate an audience, do you think that I would teach these things? I doubt that. If I wanted to make peace with the bell boxes, do you believe that I would teach these things? If I want to drive a Cadillac and have a nice retirement nest egg at the end of my ministry, do you think I'd be preaching what I was preaching? No. But you see, Yahweh has sent me not to preach to entice or to tickle your ears, but to preach for a home in heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm preaching for a retirement plan, not here, but in the new kingdom that will be established, free and void of all these rituals that they're doing today. Ladies and gentlemen, if I was to really get into the depth of this, it would be very sickening. Canine, the dog, praise Yahweh, Ashtoreth, the goddess of love, Hollywood, holy wood, the stars. That's what the word Ashtoreth means. 6253 means star. And we're talking in this case about the fallen star. And this female goddess is now worshipped as they eat the blood of the sacrifices. And they even got Israel into this, ladies and gentlemen. And let me quickly, before I go to Jeremiah, to close out our message here tonight, we're just about through, so I won't have time to go, but let me give you the scripture anyway. It's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 27, and it's also in the book of 1 Samuel, praise Yahweh, that we were going to. We won't have time to get there tonight, but we will try to come back at some other time, 1432, where they entice Israel to eat blood. Ladies and gentlemen, it's against the laws of Yahweh. We should keep ourselves unspotted. Ladies and gentlemen, our time is coming down. It's got away from me unknowingly. Yahweh richly bless you, and keep yourself unspotted from the world.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Faith Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the same station.